And you are listening to a rendition of Guide Me, O Thou Great Redeemer. And this particular one was sung at the wedding of Prince William and Catherine Middleton, which I find kind of interesting because in that same sanctuary when Princess Di had her funeral, you had Elton John singing. And with us is our good friend Pastor Mark Smith.
How could you get me confused with Elton John, Tom?
Well, you're both so good looking. No, we have a face for radio, don't we?
Yeah, we do have a face for radio, both of us.
Well, I couldn't believe that you remembered that.
Yeah, oh yeah, sure. That was I believe it was a favorite hymn of Lady Di. And
she had it at her wedding also?
I think it was at her funeral as well.
Oh, okay.
And then Prince William had it in their wedding. I think I've got that right.
I can understand.
It's a beautiful hymn.
I can understand why Prince William wanted to sing it. Did you see who the author is?
William Williams.
And did you see who the translator is?
Peter William.
You can't get many more Williams than that.
No, that's right.
Yeah. William Williams died in 1791, and Peter Williams died in 1796. So maybe brothers or something. But isn't that interesting?
I guess this is an English hymn, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yes.
Anglican?
Well, I'm not sure if it was translated. You know?
Sounds to me like it was pretty English.
Why would they need a translator unless they were just going from the King James up to the regular?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so... I don't
see any Germans listed in the credits.
Petra William is not a German.
Where's that?
Well, Peter Williams. I pronounced it in German. Okay. Like Tom Baker. That doesn't sound like a German
nor
name.
Nor Mark Smith.
Yeah, but
you know,
it is.
We're a couple of Brits.
No. Tom Baker. The German is Becker. B-A-U-M-L-A-U-T-C-K-E-R. My one uncle changed it the way it sounds. Becker. B-E-C-K-E-R. The other one spelled it without the umlaut, B-A-C-K-E-R. My dad just said Baker.
So your ancestors were from Germany?
Yugoslavia.
Yugoslavia.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And my mom and dad lived over in Yugoslavia just a few miles from each other when they were kids. Never knew each other.
No kidding.
Yeah. And then when they came here. Would you read the first stanza,
okay.
Guide me, O thou great redeemer. Because there's another word instead of redeemer they sometimes use.
Jehovah.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
Okay.
Go ahead and read this rendition.
Guide me, O thou great redeemer, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Feed me till I want no more.
Now, this has got bread of heaven in it. Why do you think they chose this hymn for this coming Sunday?
Well, let's see. This coming Sunday is John chapter 6.
Right.
It talks about it's in conjunction with the feeding of the 5,000.
Yes.
And Jesus makes the statement, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you.
Had an interesting conversation recently with a pastor as to whether or not John 6 is referring, therefore, to the Lord's Supper. And what do you think my answer was?
No.
That's right.
I think I was the person you had the conversation with, Tom.
Yes, I know. But they don't know that. So let's just
pretend.
They
do now.
Yeah, they do now. Yeah.
But you explained it, I thought, very well. That passage is, that is somewhat debated by...
it definitely is. Know, but I have a very simple question.
Yeah.
If the Lord's Supper had never been instituted, would John 6 still be there?
Of course.
Yes, it would. Because in John 6, when John reports Jesus saying, that unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no life in you. It can't be referring to the Lord's Supper, because nobody in the Old Testament who were saved, the Old Testament books, ever had the Lord's Supper.
Right. And you might make clear to our listeners that this is before he instituted the Lord's Supper. He had this conversation.
And so why do I think the Lord's Supper, though this isn't talking about it, is really related to it? Because God in his wisdom recognizes that human beings have a hard time just relying on their faith. So he wants to give them a sign.
Right.
And these are the three questions I always ask. How do you know your sins were forgiven? The answer to that is?
Jesus died on the cross.
Excellent. Yes, because everybody's sins were forgiven at the cross. But not everybody goes to heaven, because to go to heaven, you must receive the gift.
Right.
How do you know you received the gift?
By baptism.
Excellent. You can receive it through faith.
Right.
No doubt about that. Thief on the cross. But if you want assurance,
right,
if you want a sign,
an
if you want a
means,
promise,
right,
excellent,
yeah,
external means. Now, the third question is, how do you know you haven't fallen from the faith and you're still a Christian?
Because I received the Lord's Supper.
Exactly.
That's my assurance. Yeah, that is so very helpful. I think that is so very helpful. It's kind of hard to remember the three answers to those questions.
Yes.
But it's so very helpful when you can.
A lot of people will answer, how do you know that you're receive the gift of the forgiveness? They'll say, because I believe.
Yeah.
And it sounds like the Pharisee, thank God I believe, not like those other people.
You know? We're not saved because we have such great faith.
No. Faith is the means by which we receive the gift. So God decided to set up a sign, which we call a sacrament. That's why we believe there's only two sacraments. The Roman Catholics, they have some other ones, such as getting married.
Marriage,
but I don't see how getting married...
Confirmation.
...declares you righteous, right. Yeah. Or confirmation, because all the confirmation is a public confession of the faith in which you were baptized into. And also, I still believe it's a preparation for the Lord's Supper. Because it's clear from 1 Corinthians 11, Christians can misuse taking the Lord's Supper and get sick and even die.
Oh, yes, right. Yeah, that's why we practice close communion for their sake.
Yes, close or closed communion is only done by a Christian congregation that loves people.
Right.
We don't want to put a person in jeopardy of temporal consequences. Taking the Lord's Supper inappropriately doesn't send you to hell.
No.
Because Paul talks about them as being brothers, and he doesn't say they die, but they fall asleep.
Right.
Which is the way of talking about believers. So those three questions are really critical.
Let's review those again. Can we review them?
Sure.
Again?
How do you know your sins are forgiven?
Jesus died for the whole world on the cross.
Right. How do you know you received the gift?
I was baptized.
Yes. And how do you know you haven't fallen from the faith?
Because I've just received the Lord's Supper.
Yes. Pastors only give the Lord's Supper to sinless human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really hard for them to understand, because under the law, they only look at their works. But boy, oh boy, I'm doing a Bible study today at Emmanuel Olivet. And, you know, we're going through the Heidelberg Disputation. Can you explain what that is?
No, I think you'd better, Tom.
Well, all it is...
It's one of Luther's...
writings.
Right.
He actually, in 1518, was challenged to a debate. And the Heidelberg, I think, is far superior to the 95 statements he put up on the castle door or wherever. Because he still believed in the purgatory back then, but not now. Those Heidelberg. We're into section four. The first one was, you're not saved by your works. You're not saved by a free will, making a choice. But this fourth one is really interesting. He is not righteous who works much, but he without work, what?
He without work is...
Righteous why?
By grace. It's fully by grace. It's not, we're not saved by our works.
I know, but what makes you righteous in God's sight? I'm doing my Reformation sermon on this one, and I'm going to use this thesis. Let me read the whole thing. He is not righteous who works much, but he without any work believes much.
Okay. Saved by faith alone. Faith alone.
Right? Yeah. That's what the whole Reformation... Lutherans don't know this. I'm going to a church this week, and in the Bible study, these people just don't know theology. I won't say what church it is. But anyway, Prince of Peace.
Okay, Tom.
But you know me, I love asking
questions.
Yes,
I do, yes.
And one of them I could ask, although I'm going in another direction for your Bible study, is why are you righteous in God's sight? And as soon as you say the word righteous, it's impossible for even Lutherans not to think about works.
Okay.
I'll be really surprised. Nobody's ever got this answered right, because we're now no longer righteous because of works, but through faith.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole different understanding. No other religion even comes close to this, as does Christianity. So... I've got a whole page of notes here. That Bible study is today at Emmanuel Lutheran in Olivet, Missouri, 9733 Olive. You're welcome to come, anybody from the St. Louis area. We actually have people who are not members of Emmanuel attending. And then tonight, we're going to be having another Bible study for young adults. We have people there. That's a lot of fun because a number of them are in college and such, so they have really good questions. And that'll be at 7:30 tonight, again at Emmanuel Olivet. And yes, where am I preaching this Sunday?
Prince of Peace Lutheran Church out here in Crestwood. I'll be elsewhere.
Preaching at a big anniversary.
I'm not preaching. I'm doing the liturgy at a brother in the ministry who's celebrating his 40th year in the ministry.
Wow.
It's up at Forest Green, Missouri.
PSU Salem. Had once been pastor
right,
there.
Right, right.
Yeah.
35, 36
And they're
years
rejoicing ago. That once you left, many more people joined. Okay.
Yeah, they got air conditioning and everything after I left.
Oh, wow. You know, knowing you, they needed it when you were there.
A lot of hot air, right?
All right. So this is interesting for a marriage service. Guide me, O thou great Redeemer, pilgrim through this barren land. And I'm looking at the video here, and here you have Queen Elizabeth in her yellow dress. And
Queen Elizabeth?
Yeah.
Queen Elizabeth?
Yeah, I'm looking at her.
Oh, it's showing the grandmother.
Right, right.
Oh, okay. I can't see it, that's why.
Yeah, I know. And then, of course, her husband is all decked out in military.
Medals and all that.
And they're singing about going through this barren land. Why is it a barren land for the rich and the poor?
Well, this is a wilderness. Our citizenship is in heaven.
Yes.
This is a vale of tears, as some people will say.
And in fact, here's what they say in the next. I am weak, but...
Thou art mighty.
Yes. That's why it's a barren land, because there's nothing we can do in this land to get right with God. There's
right.
No way. In fact, that was what the Heidelberg Disputation was all about, is how does one get righteous with God? And we are barren. We are weak. But thou art almighty. I remember it was Bondage of the Will, and it was taught by Dr. Richard Klann.
H. Richard Klann.
Oh, one of the greatest professors.
Yes, remember
I ever
those classes? We took a couple classes with
him. Yeah, I remember. I could say some things, but Anyway, it's partly where I learned my technique of answering questions to get you confused. And I'll never forget that he spent a whole class asking and waiting for answers to the question, what does it mean that God is almighty? And, of course, the students would give kinds of things.
I know.
And it doesn't matter. As I look back, I think some of them were right, but he still pretended they were wrong.
Yeah. Oh, I'll tell you. Yeah, you never felt like you had the answers in his class.
No. And he finally said it then. Yeah, he always does that near the end of the class. What almighty means, like some people would say, well, God can do anything. And he pointed out, no, that's not true. There's lots of things God cannot do.
Yeah, now that's an interesting statement. Well, he cannot sin, of course.
Well,
he
can't.
He
send
will
a,
not sin.
He can't send a Christian to hell.
Right. Yeah. Good point.
There's tons of things he can't not do.
Yeah. Good.
Why?
Point.
Why? Because
that's
he,
a that's a good topic for a sermon.
Oh, are you kidding? I've had that question. Is there anyone here who thinks that God can do everything? Everybody puts their hand up. I said, well, you're all wrong. Because why? Because he binds himself
that's
to
right.
his promises.
That's right.
Yes.
He won't go against his promises.
No, he
is
never,
faithful.
Yes.
One
yes.
of his beatitudes, right? He's
which one? Blessed are
blessed. He got his faithful. No attributes. Attributes.
Yeah, it's one of his
one
attributes.
Of his attributes.
Yeah. So finally, Klan came out and said, "Well, I'll tell you what Almighty means. Even in the English, it's two words. What are they?
All powerful, Almighty.
No, all might. There is no might outside of God."
Yeah, okay, I buy that.
Which means, therefore, who gets all the credit for your salvation?
God.
And did you hear this? I am weak, but thou art mighty. And as soon as I read that, I found a Klan. Because I am weak to do anything to get right with God, but he has all the might.
Right.
And so, therefore...
Deserves all the credit.
He gets all the credit, yes. Hold me with thy powerful hand. What does that make you think of? I'll give you a hint.
Well, I think, hold me with thy powerful hand. I think of God's right-hand man, Jesus.
Excellent. That's exactly, yes, that Jesus is at the right of hand. And that follows up with what?
Bread of heaven.
Yeah.
Jesus is the bread of heaven, too.
Yes. In fact, I really appreciate James Veltz's commentary on Mark. And... He was talking about with the feeding of the 5,000, and then right after that, he walks on the water. And what he does there, he goes back to the Old Testament verses and shows that this is Jesus fulfilling what happened with Israel. Remember, they got manna from heaven.
Yes.
I am the bread from heaven. And then there's a bunch of verses in the Old Testament where God is walking on the water, where he has control over the sea, like
right.
the Red
well,
Sea.
Well, the Red Sea crossing.
Exactly. That we end up walking through the Red Sea, etc. And all credit goes to God. So that's what's happening here. And therefore, when it says, bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more, what are we fed by?
We're fed by the gospel.
Yes.
The bread of life, Jesus. Jesus himself.
Yes. Not the law.
No.
The law shows that we're really hungry, and the gospel fulfills, therefore, what we're talking about. I'll do stanza 2. Open now the crystal fountain whence the healing stream doth flow. Let the fiery, cloudy pillar lead me all my journey through. Strong deliverer, be thou still my strength and shield. Be thou still my strength and shield. Okay, very simple question. I put this in the promo. This is why you have to go over this with children. What's a crystal fountain?
Crystal fountain, I think of pure water. You know, I suppose you could say living water. It's a fountain, of course, is something that, you know, it springs up. Static. It's not just stable there, but it's actually bubbling up.
I think the next phrase helps us. Let the fiery, cloudy pillar lead me all my journey through.
Well,
what's that referring to?
That's, of course, in the Old Testament where Jesus accompanied the people of Israel, a pillar of fire by night and a cloudy pillar by day.
Right. So the crystal fountain, if you stop and think about it, what was open for the children of Israel?
Oh, the Red Sea crossing.
No, that which took care of their thirst.
Oh, okay. Waters of Marah, or
well, where did it come from?
It came from a rock.
Yes.
Okay.
And who does Paul say is the rock?
Christ.
Yes.
Yeah. The rock that followed you was Christ.
So what's being taught about here? What would be our...
It's talking about Christ. It's all about Christ. Hymn.
What would be our crystal fountain?
Baptism.
Yes. Okay. Excellent.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Yes.
Why didn't I think of that?
Well, because you read my lips. whence the healing stream doth flow.
Sure.
That baptism. And just like the water came from the rock, who is Jesus, so also we're baptized in the waters in the same way that the New Testament people were at Pentecost.
Right.
What does Jesus say to Nicodemus?
He says, you must be born by water and the Spirit.
Exactly. So, therefore, what's the fiery cloud? Remember, John the Baptizer says, Jesus is
will
not...
will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire.
Yes. And that is the flame of the Holy Spirit that enters into us, that gives us faith.
Right.
And that faith is a bold faith. So you can't read this hymn without thinking about that Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old Testament.
You're right. It's all about Jesus.
Yes, because he's still your strength.
Even as the hymn is all about Jesus.
Yes. Well, then read stanza 3.
When I tread the verge of Jordan, bid my anxious fears subside. Death of death. Isn't that great? The death of death. Death of death and hell's destruction, land me safe on Canaan's side. Songs of praises, I will ever give to thee.
All right, here I go again with a question. When I tread the verge of Jordan, what's verge?
Well, the verge is when you... The verge would be like when you break into the water. I think of the picture. Remember when they crossed into the Promised Land and they were carrying the Ark of the Covenant?
Oh, that's right.
As soon as the priest's sandals hit the water, it opened
divided.
Up to them. It
yes.
divided, just like the Red Sea crossing.
So one can say that the barrier to heaven is a dividing wall of hostility because of our sins. What happens to that dividing wall of hostility?
It's broken down. Christ has broken it down.
Excellent. And therefore, bid my anxious fears subside. What fears?
Fear of death.
Yes. Well, more than death. Eternal death.
Mm-hmm, right.
Yeah. Totally gone. There's this stupid television program called Proof, and they're trying to give evidence of life after death. And, of course, they're using the occult to do so, you know, where people have these dreams.
Yes.
Like that little kid who said he went to heaven, and they wrote a whole book on it. Now
yes.
he says it was all a lie. But even if people have these visions, this is just the work of Satan. It was so simple. When I heard that they were trying to give proof of what happens after death, I said, read the Bible.
Yeah, that's the only thing you'd be absolutely sure of.
That's the only proof you need.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've said this before. A lady said to me, Jesus appeared in my bedroom and talked to me. I said, no, he didn't. You would be toast. Okay, death of death. You like that, eh?
Yeah. Yeah, the death of death.
And how is death put to death?
By the resurrection.
That's right. His crucifixion and resurrection. So, are we singing this hymn this Sunday?
Oh, well, you know, that's something we got to talk about. Do you want to pick the hymns or you want
no,
me
no,
to?
No, I want
I
you to.
I would certainly pick this hymn.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, go ahead.
I love this hymn.
Yeah, we can do it then. Oh, guess what? So, tell people where I'm preaching.
Oh, you'll be preaching at Prince of Peace Lutheran Church Saturday at 5 p.m. and Sunday at 9 a.m. And you'll be leading the Bible class afterward about 10:25.
All right, Prince of Peace. Thanks very much. Tomorrow I'm asking the question, should you go to a gay marriage? God bless. Till tomorrow.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com.